You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the Game Plan Podcast on the Raiders Podcasting Network. I'm your host, JT, as we get you ready for the Raiders versus the Green Bay Packers. October 20th, Lambeau Field. That's a 10 a.m. Pacific time start as the Silver and Black are coming off their bye week and ready to take on Green Bay in one of the most historic sites in all of the NFL. Back from the bye week. Back from London, the Raiders beat the Chicago Bears by a score of 24-21. The last podcast, I talked to John Gruden in Watford outside of London, along with Mad Max Crosby. I could tell, being embedded with the team on that trip to London, after the Vontaze Perfect suspension and being upheld, all the talk about what the Raiders couldn't do, all the talk about Khalil Mack and what Mack was going to do to him, John Gruden and his staff did their best coaching job of the year, having the Raiders ready to go on foreign soil in front of a hostile fan base. There were a lot of Bears fans there, and the Raiders come out with the victory to go to 3-2 on the year. A great way to go into the bye week, a great way to come out of the bye week, and now the Raiders have another really tough game. As you know, Green Bay won earlier in the week on Monday Night Football in a very controversial game over the Detroit Lions on a couple of penalties that shouldn't have been called. The NFL's been apologizing about that all week, but Green Bay won, and Detroit lost, and Green Bay, a 5-1 team, is the top of one of the toughest divisions in football, the NFC North. So the Raiders are going to have to play an outstanding game to travel and go into Lambeau and to win this game. I want to go back to London for a moment. The fans who were there, the excitement, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It was great. All those Raider flags that were flying, all the big plays. We go back to that game and Josh Jacobs being the closer and the hammer once again as he was able to help this team put the game away in the fourth quarter.
It's a power eye look from the two. Under center, here comes Jacobs. Jumps, dives over the top, touchdown! Touchdown, Raiders! Celebration explodes on the sideline. Let's go down to JT.
Carr's pointing to the crowd right here. He's running to the Raider Nation. The dive over the top. The Raider flags are out, and the Raiders take the lead, Brent.
How about that? Thanks for indulging me on that call. That was a bucket list to work the sidelines. Chris Townsend stayed back for the MLB playoffs. I was fortunate enough to get that assignment, and working with Brett Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy on the call in London was a highlight to my career, and the Raiders won the game. Really excited. And their defense needed to make a play to close out the game, and they did it again.
Second down and 10 for Chase Daniels. Spread the field. Four receivers, two on each side. Here's Chase back into the gun. He's hit on a release. Up in the air, intercepted. Picked up by Conley. Conley's got it. And he'll go down inbounds. Keep the clock running. The Bears will have to use a timeout. The second interception of the game. But it was the pass rush that got to him.
Yeah, Brent said it best. The pass rush was really good in that game. Everybody talked about what to expect from the Bears. How about that Raider pass rush as the Raiders were able to hold on after that, win the game, and build momentum with two in a row on the road.
Daniel in trouble. He's sacked. He's taken down by Maurice Hurst.
He makes up for the penalty. And the rough
and
the
Raiders upset the Bears 24-21.
Raiders radio on the call. Fantastic. It's always a luxury to be in the locker room when John Gruden addresses the team after an emotional victory. This was exciting.
Disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
Yeah! I say this, man. I'm 56 years old. That's the most fun I've ever had tonight, man. I am so proud of you. You have no idea. I mean, we've been through a roller coaster already, but what you proved today is one thing. You can beat anybody anywhere on any time zone. You got it. We're going to have a great flight home. We have some injuries. I want everybody to have a great bye week. You have a whole week off.
Love y'all, man, so much. Now let's get home. Win on three. One, two, three.
Win! I wanted to make sure you heard that again. It's been a while with the bye week. To hear the excitement of this team and the family and what it's like to win. It's hard to win. You hear NFL legendary coaches saying that all the time. When you get a win, celebrate. The Raiders deserve to celebrate, enjoy it, be in the moment. enjoy the bye week, and now get back to work and get ready. John Gruden talked about Josh Jacobs in London. Again, he is an asset now to the Raiders because he can do multiple things and he helps win games.
Well, Jacobs is, he got hurt early in the game and came back twice. He proved a lot tonight. He made some great runs. I thought Jalen and DeAndre picked up the slack for him, but we were persistent with it.
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that they're going to run it. They have an identity now, everybody. That's all I wanted to say. They have an identity. And on top of that, with the injuries that they've had, they played that game without two of their three first-round picks. We know Jonathan Abram's gone for the year. Cleveland Farrell with the concussion protocol, not able to go. And Gruden's defensive pass rush, led by Paul Gunther, they got home.
We got some good young players. I mean, Max Crosby's got a really good factor grade. He's batting down passes, causing fumbles. Benny Mayo has been effective. He was out last week. I thought we had some pretty good inside rushes, and all we hear about is their pass rush every day. It's great to talk about ours.
And one more thing about Derek Carr. Let's talk about Derek Carr getting that massive English gorilla off of his back. He needed a win in London. He's had some nightmare games there where he was running for his life. He made great decisions on that last drive, and the offensive line was good to him.
They're just powerful men, and they were able to make a way for Josh and DeAndre and Jalen today. I mean, my goodness, that was fun to watch. I get the best seat in the house for the Smash Mouth football. I get to hand it off. I get to watch those guys work up close and personal, and it was a lot of fun.
So that's where we're at. We get ready for the Packers. I told you in past podcasts here, and we appreciate you coming back and downloading the podcast and sharing it with the Raider Nation. I don't look at the stats until after week four. And now after the bye week, week six, going into week seven, you get an idea of where the Raiders stand. The Raiders have the 20th total offense in football, averaging 348 yards a game. They have the 8th rushing offense, 134.4. That's a big deal. They can run the football with the best in the league. And if you look at the Packers, they have the 24th overall offense. Their rush offense is 23rd. And I like what I'm seeing with the Raiders' identity playing smash-mouth football. And the Raider defense is vastly improved. Their defense is ranked 10th rush defense, giving up only 92 yards a game. That is very important. And their turnover ratio is getting a bit better. They're still 18th ranked, minus one the differential, going up against the Packers, who are second overall in the NFL with plus seven in the turnover battle, in the victory column of turnovers. That's big. The Raiders cannot turn the ball over at Lambeau Field. They need to play a clean game, and the Raiders are going up against Aaron Rodgers. Okay, he's still in the prime of his career. He's still arguably the best quarterback in all of football when he has a clean pocket. But he doesn't have the weapons that he's had in the past. And I think if the Raiders can keep the game manageable, get to halftime, manage the game. Remember we talked about that heading into the Kansas City game? The Raiders were up 10-0 against Kansas City. And then in a blink of an eye at halftime, they were down 28-10 and the game was over. This game reminds me a lot of Kansas City. That you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who can put up a game like that or a quarter like that and put the game away. So the Raiders need to be very careful. But I think they match up personnel-wise with the Green Bay Packers, even though the Packers are 5-1. So we got a great podcast lined up with you. We're going to begin with one of the great analysts in the NFL, Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, Fox Sports, Compass Media, Entercom Radio, has something called Baldy's Breakdowns. He breaks down film and puts it out on Twitter, at Baldy NFL, and he's been following the Raiders closely, and we're thrilled that he could join us on the Game Plan podcast. Baldy, good to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks for coming on. I want to begin with the Green Bay Packers. What have you seen so far with Aaron Rodgers and their passing game?
Well, I honestly don't see any difference in the offense right now. Watching Aaron Rodgers with a new system and a new coach than he did with Mike McCarthy. I mean, basically, the offense has been and still is. Aaron Rodgers gets the ball from his center, Corey Linsley, and then within 2 seconds, he's either getting rid of the ball quickly or he just waits and buys some time and waits for somebody to uncover. I mean, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of innovation to what they do. And so, look, they blew out the Cowboys 2 weeks ago. I mean, Aaron Jones had a career day, ran for 4 touchdowns that day. But I don't see a really proficient red zone offense. I know they're without Davante Adams here, and so you lose your number one receiver, you can lose a lot. You know, he found Alan Lazard last night, who, you know, I knew from Iowa State, and, you know, he's a big receiver, but he doesn't have great speed, and made a big catch last night for him. But I don't see a great offense right now, JT. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he still has an elite arm, but I don't see a great offense around it.
They're finding ways, Baldy, to win games. They beat the Bears 10-3, the Vikings 21-16, the Broncos, they put up 27 in a win, and they win at the Cowboys and at home against the Lions. One thing I got to give Green Bay credit, similar to the Raiders, this is a pretty tough schedule out of the gate, and I think Green Bay's got to be really fortunate through the teeth of this schedule they have this record so far.
I agree. No, but look, I mean, 5-1 is 5-1. And, you know, you'll take the wins any way you can get them as you try to figure out what you do well. You know, one thing, you know, you didn't see much of it last night, but, I mean, they've been taking the ball away. Jair Alexander, Darnell Savage didn't play last night, but, you know, two young players that played really, really well. Kevin King, you know, the sacks have come in bunches with Preston and Za'Darius Smith. Rashawn Gary didn't look like he played last night, got banged up the week before, but they've got a lot. They've got a good rotation. They've been pretty stout, except for, you know, the loss against the Eagles, which basically ran the ball for 173 yards down their throat. And I'm sure John Gruden is taking a long look at how the Eagles did that and would like to rip out a very similar page this weekend.
Brian Baldinger joins us. Let's get to the Raiders and the win at Indianapolis and then the London win against the Bears. I love the Baldy breakdowns. I love when you break down the film of the Raiders' offensive line. They get their offensive line finally back at full strength with the return of Gabe Jackson incognito after the first two games being suspended. Rodney Hudson, Trent Brown, Colt Miller. This is clearly the strength of the team along with Josh Jacobs. Is this the identity of the Raiders and Gruden going forward, running the ball to set up the pass?
Absolutely. Absolutely, JT. It's why they invested in, you know, Trent Brown. You know, it was a big reason why they paid him that money. He's doing a great job. They went out and got Richie Incognito. I saw him the day that Gabe Jackson got hurt, JT. I was out there at the scrimmage against the Rams. I saw it, and it was kind of devastating, you know. But Denzel Good, the guys that have filled in there, have played well. So, you know, to see Gabe Jackson in there, who's a very good run blocker. You know, that interior, I mean, it could be a very good group. And I'm impressed by what Darren Waller has done, with what their fullback has done. I mean, Alec Ingold, I'm impressed with how they all fit in the run game. I didn't know what to expect from Darren Waller as a blocker. I knew he could catch the ball and run routes, but he's been impressive, you know, right now in that regard, blocking right now. They're asking him to do a lot of things, and he's been good in line.
The performance of Derek Carr so far for you, no 300-yard games, no 400-yard games, but he's winning, and the Raiders will take that, especially London, where that's been a house of horrors for him. So the momentum is there for Carr, who's distributing the football well. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions here. But do you believe he has the ability to get back to that 2016 year and be more explosive downfield?
Yeah, but he doesn't have Amari Cooper. I mean, Terrell Williams has played well, don't get me wrong. I thought he could have if Antonio Brown just, you know, behaved and was a part of the team and wanted to be a part of the team. I thought they had a chance of that. But really, I mean, they're running the ball inside the red zone for touchdowns. I mean, Josh Jacobs, last game, and, you know, I mean, he's running the ball really well. And it doesn't matter how you score the touchdowns. They're scoring touchdowns. That was a very good Indianapolis Colts team that they dismantled. That was a very good Bears defense that they ran the ball against in London. I mean, they're doing it. To me, I'm impressed. They've stacked back-to-back wins, and I'll put those two wins up against those two teams as far as any two back-to-back wins from anyone this year. I mean, those are two very solid football teams, two playoff-caliber football teams that they've beaten back-to-back. Nothing. I'm going to take anything away from Derek Carr. He's a part of it, but they are developing young players right now, JT, and building a team, and you spoke of the identity. That's their identity. They want to pound teams, and they're doing it right now, and Derek Carr's got to, you know, he's not going to probably put up those kind of numbers that we saw, but he might not need to.
Brian, they lost Jonathan Abram in the first game against Denver for the season, and then Vontaze Burfict was suspended for the entire season. Those are really big losses for the Silver and Black on core defensive players who were supposed to have huge impacts. How much credit does Paul Gunther deserve for taking players next man up and have this team at least competing better on defense?
Well, I was the biggest Jonathan Abram fan through the whole draft process. Got to know the kid at the NFL Network. Traded some, you know, text messages. I'm just a huge fan of the person and the player. And I was sick when I saw him get hurt in that first hit, you know, against Denver like that. But, you know, look what Max Crosby is doing here, JT. I mean, I don't know what people thought when he was drafted out of Eastern Michigan, if he was going to be a developmental player, if he was going to get in the rotation. I mean, the guy has earned a spot. You know, he started last week, you know, over in London, but you know, to me, he might be their best defensive end. You know, there's just something about him. I mean, he knows how to play the game. He played really well in London. Played well against the Colts. You know, he's got a sack. He's got a strip fumble. You know, he's making plays right now. He looks like he plays the game the right way. I mean, you just got to keep developing players, and it's the next man up. And you just can't look backwards and say, okay, no Tez, you know, no Jonathan Abram. I mean, give the next guy up an opportunity. Maybe he'll be the next Max Crosby. I think he's going to be a really good player in this league.
Ryan Baldinger, NFL Network, along with several other big jobs. How tight were you with Mike Mayock? And tell me something about your film study and Mike Mayock's film study and how that's come together and how you prep for all the games and the games you work and your film study. Any similarities there?
Well, I mean, I'm literally about 2 miles away from NFL Films, which is my home away from home. And there's some games I really want to study tonight, so I'm going to go back and look at them. And, you know, for a long time, Mike had an office there. I had an office there. We did playbook together there. He grinded. I grinded. You know, he was looking at things a different way. He was really getting ready for the draft every year. I was kind of breaking down NFL games. But we'd come together in the studio and do shows. I mean, I know how hard Mike works and how serious he takes it, and he's the son of a coach, and he's a Philadelphia guy. And you know, when he was first coming out of the NFL, he went to work at CBS, and he became an analyst, and you know, worked his way up, and then you know, he had two kids and went to work in the real estate business, and kind of got out of the business for a long time. And then when his kids were really kind of on their own, he got back in it and became, you know, the draft guru for the NFL Network. People took him real serious. He did his homework. He built his relationships. I think he sees the game the right way. And John gave him a chance. And so I'm happy for Mike, really happy for Mike. I mean, I feel like I've known him for the better part of 15 years here. And I just know how he works. And he's not going to take any shortcuts. And there is no corners cut. I just remember talking to him, JT, out at that scrimmage this summer. And he was telling me about Josh Jacobs and tell me about, you know, Jonathan Abram and, you know, what kind of men they were. And he knew when he went to the NCAA championship game there at Levi Stadium last year, he knew that he was drafting Josh Jacobs in the first round. He didn't know what number he was going to take him, but he knew he was taking him in the first round. And you know, they found a way to get him.
Baldy, how unique is this? They're building a stadium in Vegas, which is going to be state-of-the-art. They're building a new facility out in Henderson, going to be the best in all of football. They still have operations in Alameda. They have the most travel that I could remember in God knows how long. And John Gruden's trying to build a new culture. Not that the culture was bad with Reggie McKenzie or Jack Del Rio, but Gruden and Mayock wanted their own guys. They went out and got the Clemson draft with the three players out of Clemson. Do you think that they're building the base of the organization that you think will work over the years to come with what the philosophy they have going from the old Al Davis days through Mark Davis and now Gruden coming to Vegas after this year?
Well, you know, John stepped away from the game from 10 years, but he never stepped away from the game, JT. I mean, he was in these production meetings now. He's picking these guys' brains for 10 years. Every coach, every quarterback. He's doing his quarterback camp. I mean, he's picking the brains of all these guys. And he's looking at, you know, the RPO game, the infusion of the college game in the NFL, the spread offense. He's looking at all these different things. What works, what doesn't work, why the Patriots keep doing what they do. I mean, I think he's looked at the Patriots really hard. And, you know, anytime the Patriots have ever gotten in trouble, where people start writing them off, you know, it's the beginning of the end. It's Every time they go back to I formation, they knock people off the ball, they run the football. In the last, they had one drive in the whole Super Bowl. You can listen to Bill Belichick talk about it. He comes over to Josh McDaniels and Brady. He's like, look, screw the whole damn, you know, game plan. It ain't working. We need one drive to win this game. Can we put a drive together? Let's get, not, you know, let's get an I formation. Let's get Sony back there. Let's knock him off the ball. Let's just do, and they did. They put the drive together. They threw the ball to Gronk one time. They're down at the goal line. They scored. They win the game. I mean, that's sometimes that's still the best way to win. Maybe not every week, but, I mean, if you look at the Ravens right now, they're on pace here, JT, to set an NFL record for rushing yards in a season.
Yeah.
Now, it's unconventional. Lamar Jackson, you have to let him run the ball. He's too good. But I want to see. Maybe you can still win a championship by running the football. I still hold out hope that it can still happen.
Hey, finally, Baldy, I thought that the Raiders could put wins together throughout the season, but they've put two in a row together as Kansas City has lost two in a row. And I think Mahomes is a hell of a player, and they're going to fix it, and they're trying to get healthy and all that. But the AFC West, can you just wrap this up with an overview of how that's changed through week six? The Chargers are 2-4. Denver's 2-4. There's a lot of injuries there, and Kansas City does not look like the team that was coming out of the preseason.
Well, I just did the game on national radio, JT, on Sunday in Kansas City against Houston, and Houston thumped them. I mean, they won that game. You can look at anything you want to look at. They ran the ball down their throats. You know, Deshaun Watson has a plan on any short yardage play, third down or fourth down. The ball's going to DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they'll figure out a way. They'll play street ball, two-man football, whatever. But they have a guy that can convert and extend drives. Carlos Hyde looked like he did coming out of Ohio State. I would say that, you know, neither Kansas City or the Chargers will win 12 games this year. I mean, it's not going to happen. And so, if that, you know, so there's a lot of football being played, but I would say that the AFC West can be turned upside down here. I mean, Kansas City's defense is not a championship-caliber defense right now, and I don't know that anybody's going to walk through the door to fix that defense. They brought in Steve Spagnuolo to fix it. And I talked to Steve on the field Sunday. I mean, he's a hell of a coordinator, but they couldn't stop the run 2 weeks in a row by the Colts, you know, or by the Texans. And I would bet by the time the Raiders come to call, they're going to have a hard time stopping the Raiders' offense from running the football against them.
Baldy, I love the Baldy breakdowns. You know I think the world of you. I hope to catch you on the road. I greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, JT. Anytime, man.
So again, find Brian Baldinger at Baldy NFL and check out his film work. This is a cool podcast for me because two of my favorite film guys are on. Next is Bruce Gradkowski, former Raiders quarterback. An 11-year veteran in the NFL at the quarterback position, played for the Silver and Black for a couple of years, and now he's had a great run at Pro Football Focus. And the work that he's doing, I get a chance to see hear him on Sirius NFL Radio, and he joins us on The Game Plan. Bruce, good to catch up with you again. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, JT, thanks for having me on.
I am thrilled at your film study and your breakdowns. Tell our audience what you're doing now, and when you get up in front of the board and you break down film, I'm loving it.
Well, man, it's been crazy. You know, I go every week. I work for Pro Football Focus, so I oversee their quarterback grading. So from Sunday night, I start getting the coaches' cut-ups, and I have to grade every single pass in the NFL and be done by Monday around 1 or 2. So watching every pass, grading every throw, you're seeing a lot of what, you know, the offenses are doing, but you're watching, seeing how quarterbacks are playing. And then every Wednesday I go down to Cincinnati, and that's when I break down some of the plays on video for PFF. And then Thursday, come back to Ohio and Toledo, and I have my NFL radio show Thursday, and then Friday I'll, you know, grade the Thursday night football game, and then do some of the top tier college quarterbacks. I'll grade those guys, and so yeah, it's just nonstop, but it's pretty cool to get good to see all these passes week in and week out and see what everyone's doing.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you because Pro Football Focus is now something I rely on hosting my radio show. So I love the grading process. I love how detailed it is. You know, now I'm with SiriusXM and with you with NFL Radio and the work you're doing. You're working on unbelievable platforms, but I want to get back to the coach's tape. And as a former quarterback who played for several teams at a high level, how much do you love that process and what do you look for now as a quarterback out of the league that you used to study when you were a quarterback playing and preparing every Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I enjoy it because a lot goes on in a game, right? And just not one person is going to be responsible for maybe the offensive mistakes or defensive mistakes. And when you watch it as a whole and I get an opportunity to see the coach's film, you could tell if, you know, maybe the route was too short or maybe, you know, this guy busted on his route or maybe the quarterback just threw a bad ball and it was an awesome adjustment by the wide receiver. And I saw that a few times this year. I remember, I think it was week one, Kyler Murray throws this dime to Larry Fitzgerald down the left sideline, but it looked like he was throwing a corner route. And it's like, I'm watching it on TV. I'm like, man, that is a perfect ball. Then I get the coaches cut up later. I'm like, oh, Fitzgerald was actually running a seam route. Unbelievable adjustment by Fitzgerald to make that play, to make it look natural that it was just a corner route. And that's just, I mean, that describes Larry Fitzgerald in a whole of just his ball skills being the best in the NFL. So it's good to just put an eye on. I mean, just even watching Derek Carr, I was just going through his interceptions on the year, just three of them. And there was like, you know, I mean, one of them was bonehead. Like, man, did that ball slip out of your hand against the Vikings? And the other two, which, you know, sometimes those plays are going to happen. You know, when a receiver runs into a linebacker or when you're throwing a fade down in the tight red zone and your receiver, the route gets cut off, and it's a good play by the DB. So I like to see guys not making boneheaded mistakes, you know, because, look, mistakes are going to happen whether you like it or not, but how do you move on from it and keep going?
Bruce Gradkowski is our guest, former 11-year NFL quarterback, former Raiders quarterback. Thrilled to be able to talk to him because that transitions us into Derek Carr. Look, with Derek, he's winning games. He got the London Gorilla off his back where he was running for his life in previous attempts to win in London. The team won two in a row, Indy and London, and now the team is 3-2 and right in the hunt, not only in the AFC West, but the AFC overall. But Derek isn't having those 300-yard games, close to 400, gunslinger games, and a lot of preparation. Bruce obviously went into Antonio Brown. That was going to be great chemistry with him. That's behind the organization. They're trying to get Tyrell Williams healthy, but they have Darren Waller, who's a big tight end who plays like a wide receiver. What are some of the good things you're seeing with Derek Carr that aren't actually showing up on the stat sheet?
Well, I'll tell you what, Derek Carr right now for Pro Football Focus, he's our top graded quarterback at the intermediate level throws, the 10 to 19 yards. Grading at 92.1. So he's doing an outstanding job. You could tell that's where his comfort level is. I mean, he has his overall PFF grade, passing grade this year, 79.4, six big-time throws. The thing I look at, you know, that I'd like to see after the bye week and things of that sort, look, your running game's going well. I want to see them push the ball downfield more. His average depth of target is only 6.3 yards. And I'd like to see that, you know, come up a little bit more, a little more play-action pass. You can hit those chunks 18 to 20 yards downfield, especially now you have a good running game going. And even going into football games, now teams are going to have to prepare to stop the run, and that's going to just open the field even more so for Derek Carr. I mean, I think he's doing a good job. I think he's playing good on third down. You know, so it's cool to see, and I was just super happy for – you know, the Raiders and Chucky and the gang for getting a few big wins back-to-back. I mean, against the Colts, against the Bears, and they're going to have some very tough ones as well. That'll be exciting to watch. But I think John Gruden and his staff has done a phenomenal job handling the AB situation, just everything going on, being on Hard Knocks. That's a lot to deal with, the drama going in, and how do you keep the team together as one without separating as some of this drama was going on. And I think they did an outstanding job, and now it's coming down to football. And now it's, you know, how do we win these tough games?
Bruce, the Raiders finally have their offensive linebacker as Gabe Jackson returns. Richie Incognito started the year on a two-game suspension. Trent Brown, Colt Miller clearly is handling the workload, and they have one of the best centers in the league with Rodney Hudson. And with Josh Jacobs, he's a closer. I mean, you would love the energy he has in the building around John Gruden, the entire offensive staff. He's very humble. He can get the tough yard. He could get it at the goal line going over the top. How does that change the Raiders' game plan now going into Green Bay and the Texans after that? I'll ask you two for one, because can they get in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, or is the best weapon they have slowing it down, run the ball behind that workhorse offensive line and Jacobs?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to get into a shootout against Rodgers and Watson. I mean, those two guys are playing some of the best football, especially Watson lately, man. He's just playing outstanding, and he's the type of guy, too. He's doing a good job utilizing his backs out of the backfield. He's getting to his check down. But also, he's the type, man, you give him time, he's going to take those big-time throws downfield. But I think the Raiders, absolutely, Josh Jacobs, I love seeing what he's doing as a rookie. You talk about the energy he brings, you know, and it's the energy Gruden gives off. You know, it's awesome to be around John Gruden and play for him and learn from him. And I know he's scheming up for Josh Jacobs. I know Tom Cable does an awesome job with the offensive line, and it's cool to see the running game going. So you're playing Green Bay. You're playing Aaron Rodgers. You want to be able to control the football. And if you can do that, you're going to have a good chance to win this football game. Don't let the Packers get back into a rhythm, you know, like they did against the Lions. When you get up on them, you got to stay up on them, and you got to stay aggressive too. I think it is running the football, but you also can't just, you know, just play scared. You know, you have to take your shots downfield, and I think that will open up. The running game will open up the passing game downtown. So I'd like to see them play aggressive, even though you're playing Aaron Rodgers.
Former NFL quarterback of 11 years, Bruce Gradkowski joins us, one of the best analysts I've seen. His film work, his work on Pro Football Focus is unbelievable. Go follow him on Twitter. Bruce, as we wrap it up, what are you seeing with Aaron Rodgers? He doesn't look happy with this team. They're younger guys. He used to have guys like Jordy Nelson, back shoulders. Guys knew exactly where to be, where he was going to be, where the ball was going to end up here. And you know, Detroit got robbed in that game on Monday Night Football with the two Trey Flowers hands to the face that weren't hands to the face. I mean, Green Bay could have lost to Detroit. What do you think the Raiders need to do to get to Aaron Rodgers, and what's his strength going up against the defense of the Silver and Black?
Yeah, well, you said it. You know, Rodgers and the Packers, they got away with one. But the thing Rodgers did so well, I mean, his passing grade of 20-plus yards downfield, his target depth, 93.5. This guy's killing it on big-time throws. Five big-time throws in the game against the Lions. You know, just really dropping dimes in there. It just, to me, it's just amazing to watch, because I wish I could have slung it like Aaron Rodgers. He's just so natural the way he just flicks it off his hand. But, you know, look, he's going to make his plays. You have to understand that. So if you're the Raiders, you can't get high or too low when Rodgers makes a few plays. But you just have to stay consistent throughout the game. Try to get some pressure on him. You don't want him scrambling outside that pocket. That's when he can become more and more dangerous. But I think the Raiders, man, they're playing with confidence right now. That's what you have to keep doing. And you also have to understand, JT, you brought it up, this division is still wide open. You have Patrick Mahomes with a bummed ankle. You have the receivers beat up a little bit. I feel like people are starting to get a little grip on Mahomes. You know, he's not being as accurate. Maybe it's the ankle. He's not able to follow through. But he didn't grade well for us this past week. So I think the Raiders just have to understand, look, they have everything they want right in front of them. They just have to take care of their business. And that's going to come with a tough road. They got Green Bay. They have Houston. A few more tough games. They're playing Kansas City. But I think it could be done. You know, I think Gruden's a great motivator. And I think their plan of attack will be spot on. I know Chucky's not one to hide from work, so he's going to be putting in the work, that's for sure.
Hey, Bruce, finally, I remember it like it was yesterday, week 13, 2009, the Steeler game, 27-24. You were 20 of 33 for 308 yards, the three touchdowns, and I'll never forget the 11-yard game winner to Lewis Murphy. I know Raider fans stop you all the time and talk about that game. Once a Raider, always a Raider. What did it mean to you to wear the silver and black?
Oh, I'll tell you what, man, JT, I can't even put into words. I mean, that was one of my favorite spots to play for the Raiders, the Black Hole. You know, having a few games that we had some success. My wife and I loved living out there in California. It was just amazing, man. And just the support I still get now from Raider Nation is amazing. And that game against the Steelers, to go to my hometown and beat the Raiders, I remember after the game, I was one of the last ones out of the locker room. I have no clue how my parents made it back right outside the locker room before we got on our buses. And we're walking down the long hallway at Heinz Field in the stadium still. And before we exit the stadium, we're in the hallway, and there's Mr. Davis with his security guys around him. And Mr. Davis is sitting in his wheelchair. They're pushing him. And my mom goes up to him, and she grabs his arm, and she's like, "Oh, what a game." And, you know, the security guys right away, like, grab my mom, like, "Hey, back up, back up." And Mr. Davis is like, "No, that's okay, that's okay." So my mom's like, "Man, what an unbelievable win." And he's like, "It's not unbelievable because we knew we could do it." You know, and it was so cool. And I just always, you know, just that experience to be around Mr. Davis and talk to him. He'd come in every evening around 5:30, get his workout in, and we'd share some moments together. And he just had such a great memory. He loved his players. He was all for his players. And it just really was an awesome, awesome organization to play for. And that's why, man, I'm so happy to see them get it going right now. And I'd love to see them continue it. And I think Gruden and his staff do a great job. And, you know, I think they'll keep it up.
Great talking to you again, Bruce. Continued success. You got a lot of great things happening with all the work you're doing, and keep it going, because a lot of people are finding you now on social media, your film breakdown, and the sky's the limit for you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, JT.
Great story about Mr. Davis. Thanks to Bruce for doing this. And again, you can follow him on Twitter at bgradkowski5. The number 5 there. Hope to have him on again. We wrap it up with one of the great Raider insiders, period. I got a chance to spend time with him in London from NBC Sports Bay Area. Scott Baer, kind enough to join us as the Raiders are coming off 2 wins in a row. Scott, it was great to see you in London as the Raiders seem to be on a roll.
Yeah, it was really nice to see them not only respond well in that Indianapolis Colts game, but to really kind of build upon what they did there despite going through so much adversity. I've covered the Raiders. This is my 7th season now, and the NFL for the 12th. And I really think that this group is coming together in a way that they're playing better than maybe the sum of their parts. I really think that chemistry and resiliency have become the trademarks of what is a very interesting team to cover.
I agree with you. I think if you look at the team and the struggles that they've had and the breakdown of the roster and building it now with Mayock and Gruden, there's been young players like Mad Max Crosby who have stepped up. We know what Jacobs could do at the running back position. The offensive line waiting to get healthy. I thought leaning on Khalil Mack and being a driving force in Indianapolis. I like their play and the momentum that they're building. Let's talk about the offensive line and getting Gabe Jackson back and finally to have that original vision of that offensive line in place.
Yeah, and especially on the right side, Trent Brown, way back in training camp, when I asked him what he thought about playing next to Gabe Jackson, his eyes just lit up as much as they can, and he was just like, "I am so excited." You know, that those two together, those big, strong, powerful, surprisingly athletic guys, should really kind of add some balance to an offensive line that has been kind of running zone runs to the left and then cutting back to the right, right? Well, now they can kind of do everything that you could possibly imagine. And I talked to Gabe Jackson, and he said this unit could be better than the one in 2016, and the one in 2016 was a driving force to the playoffs that year, and they were awfully good. So if he's even comparing this group to that one, that is indeed high praise.
Scott Baer is our guest. Since I've seen you in London, you wrote a great column on Zay Jones, the wide receiver pushing hard to learn the Raiders' offense to make an instant impact. Tell me why he's a good fit for John Gruden and his vision of offense.
Yeah, he's a bigger guy who can go up and get the ball. Now, if you're a member of Bills Mafia, you might not have some nice things to say, and they could point to the fact that he's only caught half of his targets over the course of 3 years, and he was kind of phased out in week five, which ultimately made him expendable. But I think this is a guy that, if he can learn John Gruden's offense, and those two became best friends over the bye week, learning plays and studying, and now it's on to building a chemistry with quarterback Derek Carr, who is by leaps and bounds the best quarterback that this guy's ever worked with. Buffalo has not been a signal caller's paradise recently. So I think it's a good opportunity for both. It's very clear that the Raiders need more than what they're getting from the wide receiver position, especially outside of Tyrell Williams. They have to get more there. They have to have guys who can be dynamic playmaking threats. Let's not forget that back in his previous life, Raiders GM Mike Mayock, back with NFL Network, included Zay Jones in his top five wide receivers of, I believe it would be the 2017 draft class. Love this kid. So he has untapped potential that John Gruden and Derek Carr are going to try to extract.
Scott Baer is our guest. Let's stay with Derek Carr. Man, did he need that win in London and the win in Indianapolis. He just needed to build some wins here. And can you touch on how important it was for him to win in London compared to some of the games in the past where he was running for his life, he was getting hit, he was making mistakes? I really think that's a gorilla off of his back mentally to play a game globally on the international stage and lead that team on the game-winning drive.
Yeah, I think that that's fair, especially with the way that that game was trending. I mean, you and I were both there. It was a dominant first half and an absolute train wreck of a third quarter. But for him to come back around, I think, was so important. With so many eyeballs on that game and on the, is Khalil Mack going to sack him and all those types of things, that I really think that this run game has kind of invigorated Derek Carr as well. Because last year, when they were really deconstructing, everything fell on him, right? He was there, and he was their primary source of talent, the one thing standing as everything else was kind of crumbling around him. And I think that that he feels more and more confident. And it's less about stats and more about wins. He set career marks in several important categories last year, and they didn't win at all. And nobody cares about that. For better or worse, quarterbacks and head coaches are tied to their win-loss record. And I think for Derek to kind of build and for him to see, hey, man, finally getting some help kind of takes the weight off his shoulders. And maybe he'll never play exactly as he did back in 2016 in terms of the free-flowing style, but I definitely think that he's really in firm command of this offense. He's confident, the run game is helping him, and this is a guy with 17 fourth quarter comebacks, and he engineered a beauty against what he considered the best defense he's ever played back in London. Very impressive from him and a positive sign for number four going forward.
Scott Baer is our guest. BAIRNBCS. Your pinned tweet is your Darren Waller podcast, which I listened to and was fantastic. And I'm just a little concerned how he can disappear from time to time. I mean, you want to go to this guy, you got to get everybody involved, but man, he's such a mismatch. Can you talk about, after the 13 reception game, how Gruden needs to get him going again, especially with games against Green Bay and Houston back-to-back on the road, where he can be a game changer?
Yeah, and the Raiders are going up against two dynamic quarterbacks, unlike they've faced since week two against Kansas City. And they're going to have to score more than 13 or 17 points. They're going to have to kind of get it going. And Darren Waller has been good in terms of being that outlet with a relatively short depth of field, kind of turning it into a bigger play. But I think that he can work downfield. But again, as much as I think about this game and Derek Carr and the offensive line, and there's no independent party here, right? Everybody is, like, Derek Carr desperately needs the offensive line. He desperately needs a good running back. And everybody kind of, it's just this symbiotic type of relationship. And Darren Waller could use another dynamic player in the pattern. That means getting Tyrell Williams back and healthy. That means getting Zay Jones up to speed, doing Zay Jones types of things, or really maybe even being better. He needs some coverage kind of lifted off of his plate. I think Foster Moreau is another mm-hmm. really interesting guy, but those guys have to help him, because if you just have one target, coverage can shift and kind of take away that primary guy, and that is Darren Waller right now.
Scott, it's interesting to me because I look at this defense and a couple of interceptions, big plays, the pass rush, even without Cleveland Farrell in London, now that he comes off of protocol and he's ready to go again. But again, you mentioned upcoming quarterbacks and their ability to run. And I always talk to you about misdirection. In Kansas City, we saw it again. A play starts one way, it goes the other way, and the Raiders are getting better at it. But over your years of covering this team, how many times have you sat in the press box and seen a misdirection play gouge the Raiders for 30, 40, 50 yards and a touchdown? The discipline with Paul Gunther and this defense coming into the next couple of weeks, are you seeing improvements?
Definitely, and especially against the run, where they are committing heavily to getting that figured out. And how they're going to march forward without Vontaze Burfict, who lost his appeal somehow, some way. Don't get me started on that. But that he's done for the entire season. How they can go without their, their kind of brain trust in the middle, getting everybody lined up and going in the right direction. I think it's the second year in the scheme, and again, an overall commitment to stopping the run. I think that that's been key in so many of these games. Outside of that Minnesota game, which the more I think about it, the more it was just a real aberration. I think the run defense has been good, and that comes down to discipline. It absolutely does. And if they can continue that as they kind of march forward here and stay true to their rules, stay true to what they know, because Paul Gunther's defense is also complicated, just like John Gruden's is. You have to have guys that can run it. They're going defensive back heavy a lot, whether it's sub packages or base defense. I think that's another smart coaching move, as they play to their strengths as opposed to just filling in the next linebacker up, even though he may not be as good as a defensive back who can step in and make plays.
You monitor the national media in a big market like the Bay Area and a lot of the appearances you do on other shows. Interesting in your mind how it's changed and people are now respecting John Gruden a little bit more for his vision and his offense and what he's trying to do with his type of players, because the Raiders were getting criticized a bunch right out of the gate for what they were doing. We're not hearing about Antonio Brown anymore. Vontaze Burfict and the suspension is beyond the organization now and in the rearview mirror. But what have you seen with Gruden and all the times you're there at the podium and he's talking to the press?
Yeah, I was hoping that you were going to bring this up because it's something that I really think needs to be said out loud into a megaphone, right? Plugged into a Led Zeppelin-style amplifier, right? John Gruden is doing an excellent job coaching this team in terms of schematics. We always know that he's been good at that. Watch his game scripts. But he may have drawn up a blueprint for how to stop Mac last week, right? I mean, he was excellent. He's excellent at turning shorter plays, kind of scheming guys open. That's what happened on that 97-yard drive. Foster got schemed open. Hunter Renfrow got schemed open and then made a play. And you see those types of things where coaching is so clear that it's involved, right? Now, that's one thing. And I don't think anybody on earth ever thought John Gruden wasn't a good dry erase board X's and O's guy, right? But he's been excellent, especially over the last 2 weeks. But let's also think about this, right? This group has been through so much. Doesn't Hard Knocks seem like 10 years ago? Compared to everything else that's happened since then. And there have been a lot of examples of a lot of teams that go through a run of adversity like that and fold like a house of cards in a windstorm. But that's not what has happened here. And I think that speaks to the veteran leadership inside the locker room, but more importantly, it speaks to coaches and them finding a way to galvanize this team under fire. Now, who knows, right? They may go 5-11, for all that we know. But to this point, they have been incredibly impressive, despite the fact that they're without their number one wide receiver. And they lost guys that you already mentioned. And there's been so many things going against them. And I think, and I've written this, I think angry Raiders are good Raiders. And I think angry Raiders are fun to watch. And I think that that's what we're seeing, this kind of this fortifying experience that they've all been through. And I think they're better than the sum of their parts, and that's not knocking their talent. But I just think that with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, I think they can be competitive with anybody. We all like to do these drills, right, back in April where you put a W or an L next to every game. I look at every game now, and I don't see a lot where I can automatically write a big fat L on there, right? Because they're competitive and because they've proven to me and you and everybody else that they can overcome. And I think that's the most important thing on a week-in, week-out basis, game-out basis. And that comes down to the head coach. It all starts from there.
How much are you loving your assignments? We were having a cold beverage outside Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as Bayern Munich beat my Spurs. I'm a Tottenham fan, 7-2 in a Champions League game. I'm still reeling from it. And you get to go to Lambeau Field, one of my favorite spots in the world, because those fans welcome the Raider Nation in the parking lot. They're the kindest fans I've ever seen. The hospitality is incredible. And you got to be loving it. I mean, the Raiders are winning games. You're covering the story, but you're getting a chance to travel the globe and doing what you love to do.
Oh, man, it's fantastic. You know, from London to Green Bay, can you imagine more polar opposite cities and football experiences? I mean, Packer fans, anybody who's willing to pay money for a ticket in sub-zero temperatures in the winter and sit on a metal bleacher earns my respect, right? So I really think that that's going to be a whole different, unique experience. We have NYC coming up. I love going to Kansas City. There's so many good cities. There's so many good, interesting experiences in what is a unique, swan song for the city of Oakland as they transition to Las Vegas. I always say that, you know, good or bad, the Raiders are never dull. Right, but it's always a bit more interesting when they are good, and I really do think that this team is competitive, this team is fun, and this team has some fire.
Always enjoy our conversation, Scott. Thank you very much.
Thank you, JT.
So thanks to all of our great guests. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Next week, we'll get you ready for another tough game. Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans before the Raiders finally think about getting back home to the famed Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. Have a great week and go Raiders.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.